Sean Mice here, and in today's training, I'm going to dig into the topic of what's commonly called traffic. Now, for those of you that have been following me for a while, you know that I am not crazy about the term traffic. I believe that what we call traffic, people to our website, is real humans that have a need for something that you sell or that you teach or that you help people with, where, however and whatever it is where you're in the business of changing the world. I think a lot of times we have this idea, and really the word traffic conveys this idea that there's 7 billion people out there in the world, and if we'll just take a big fishing net and we'll just pull as many of those people into our website as possible, that some portion of them will stick. But the truth of the matter is, just like if a fisherman were to do all of his fishing, be searching for one specific type of fish that he knows eats a certain type of food and responds to specific something, just goes out onto the ocean and takes the big net and just catches everything that is in the realm of that net. And you know, we have some fishermen like that, and you know, those are generally the fishermen that the environmentalists really don't like, and perhaps that's not even strong enough. Because they may get 100 fish in their net, but only one fish is the one that they're looking for. And so in theory, they throw them all back, but a lot of times there's a lot of other things that go on. Well, it's exactly the same thing with your website. You know, if you have a website, you know, let's use the old standby karate. So you have a website, and what you specifically teach people to do is get fit so they can do karate better. Well, if you just put a net out there that says, okay, anybody out there, come to my website, and then maybe I can talk you into getting fit for karate. Well, the truth of the matter is only a small percentage of the world does karate. Only a small percentage of those people are serious, and only a small percentage of those people care to change their workout. So the truth of the matter is that anybody that comes to your website that is not specifically interested in fitness for karate is probably not a good visit. You know, and once again, we get back to this net thing. In theory, sure, you could have 7 billion visits a day if you wanted, and, you know, if all you got was 1,000 new subscribers every day, well, that would be cool. But the problem is that we delude ourselves. I see this time and time and time again. I had someone, my heart goes out to somebody like this. I've been communicating with someone that is trying to get off the ground, and he's told me all the wonderful things that he has in place in his business. I mean, he's got this website, he's got articles and things to sell and a funnel and all of these things. And you go, man, what's going on? Why aren't, you know, what's going on? And he doesn't know what's wrong. And so I just asked him some pointed questions. Can you tell me how many subscribers you're getting every month? How many visitors are you getting every month? So he says, he writes back and he says, I've got 80,000 visits a month. Now, I'm excited because I tell you, if I get 80,000 visits in a month, if those visits are coming to a squeeze page, landing page, I'm going to come up with like 20,000 new subscribers. The next thing that he writes breaks my heart. I get 13 subscribers a month out of those 80,000 visits. Those 80,000 visits are either A, they're not real people, B, they're people that have no interest in what it is that he's selling or teaching. There is a fallacy online that you can go out and you can just find a traffic source. So somebody even in your niche is using Facebook, or somebody even in your niche is using YouTube, or somebody even in your niche is using a certain form, or somebody even in your niche is buying solo ads, or somebody even in your niche is, you know, buying traffic over to search engine, or any of 100 different ways of getting people to the website. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't get the right people to your website at the right time and then give them the right message, they're going to leave and nothing happens. And in my opinion, that's even worse than not having anybody come to your website in the first place. Because here's the thing, if nobody comes to your website, we can easily identify your problem. Nobody's coming to your website. But if you're getting 10,000 visits a month, you have no idea where they're coming from, you don't know who they are, they're not interested, most of them walk away, there's something delusional about that, because it makes you think there's something wrong with your squeeze page, there's something wrong with your product. And what you end up doing is spending more and more time on your squeeze page, on your product, on trying to figure things out, on buying products to learn how to do it, to get more visitors. Hey, 10,000 isn't enough. Let's get 20,000. Let's go out and buy a new training program that gives you a 7-step formula for getting more visits from somewhere or anywhere. The problem is, when you go out and you implement that 7-step formula, that doesn't work either. And I'm going to share with you some things today about traffic that are going to, I believe they're going to change the way that you think about traffic, about visitors, about getting real people to your website. It's not going to be step by step. It's not going to be a 7-step formula, because I don't believe that there's a one-size-fits-all 7-step formula. You could look at what I do, and you could say, okay, well, can you tell me what the steps are for what you do? Absolutely, I can give you the steps, whatever they are, 7 steps, 8 steps, 9 steps, 10 steps, whatever it is. This is what I do. But you can't take those exact steps and with any guarantee of certainty say you're going to get the exact same result with those exact steps. If there's a million profitable websites in the world, there's probably a million different 7-step systems. You may see some cousins, some systems that are very, very similar. You know, so much of what I do, I learn from other people, but I don't do it exactly the way they did it. I'm going to take their system, take a look at it, see what works, see what doesn't work, and go, boy, step 3 in their system doesn't work well for me. And say, how can we tweak this? How can we fix this? And I want you to understand that you're not going to get it from me. And if you say, but I really want that 10-step system for whatever the traffic is, blogging, Facebook, YouTube, search engine, organic, whatever the case is. If you go out and you just blindly follow another 7 or 10-step system, you're not going to have more success than you're having right now. And that's the danger, and that's the trap with traffic. You know, folks take 3 months trying to figure out one source of traffic. It doesn't work, so they go out. They say, I'm going to try another one. This one, I'm going to be wise. I'm only going to give it 30 days. That doesn't work. Or they do it again and say, I'm going to be wise. I'm just going to give it 10 days. That doesn't work. After a while, they're trying something new every single day, and they never give anything a chance for it to be able to work. So what my approach is, this is an approach I've used from the very beginning. Now, the words I may have used at the very beginning might have been a little bit different because I didn't understand things as well as I do now. But what I have done from the very beginning is I've asked a question similar to this. Who needs what I have, and where are they? Where are the exact people who need what I have? You see, I'd rather go out there and handpick one person who needs what I have than to have 100 people come to my website just because it's going viral. Let me say that again. I'd rather have one handpicked person than to go out there and try to get 100 people that don't know anything about me to come to my website and hope one of them sticks. So I'm gonna first of all talk about some things that I think that we tend to do wrong when we're driving traffic, especially as beginners. And this can happen with folks that have been in business for 20 years. They're highly successful in one arena. Then they try to do something new and they make these particular mistakes. So I want to talk about some of them. Obviously, part of it is the frame, that we can just get eyeballs to our website. I'm not a big believer in that, if you can't tell. Let's talk about search engine optimization first. Search engine optimization is a popular type of thing. And it's something that is sold to beginners as something that's relatively easy to do. All you got to do is, you know, write a few articles. You do a whole bunch of linking. You can pay people, you know, $5 to do a bunch of linking for you. You can buy some software that'll do it automatically for you. But what you don't get is that there's only 10 top 10 spots for your keyword in the entire world, and there's a million other people doing the same thing that you're doing. You have a 999,990 out of a million chance of not getting into that top spot. And if you do get into that top spot, it normally takes 6 to 12 months. It can take 2 years to get into that top spot. Now, I know that there's gimmicks out there that, and let me be transparent with you. You know, I've cooked up some stuff like this before just to demonstrate how something can be done. You know, we can take a really long-tailed keyword, a long-term phrase, and we can write an article, and we can have five people post it on Facebook and YouTube, and the next day we might get the number one ranking in the whole world for that keyword. The problem is if that keyword only gets three visitors a month, that's not going to change your life. Okay, now the strategy that I've used in the past is if I get 2,000 articles up that only get three visits a month, well, now I'm getting 6,000 visits a month. Okay, so there's a place for that. But when you're starting out in month one and you want traffic in month one, working on search engine optimization isn't going to get you traffic in month one. It might get you in 12 months or 24 months, but it's not going to get you traffic in month one. It's probably not going to get you traffic in month two, and maybe in month three it gets you 30 visits. And you look at it and you say, boy, that's not what I'm looking for. I want something that's a little bit faster. You see, even when we work on search engine optimization, there's two things that are working against us. One of the things that's working against us is the fact that the formulas, the algorithms, value time. If you're first getting started, and I don't care if you've been in business for 10 years, but if you start a brand new website, that website's just getting started, and it's going to take 6 to 12 months before things begin to sort of cook. Once again, we can make a silver bullet presentation that shows that something can happen in 24 hours, but it's probably not sticky, it's probably not going to last, and it's probably not going to yield you a whole bunch of traffic. Okay, the second thing that happens with search engine optimization is that folks try, you know, if you go out and buy the 7-step formulas for search engine optimization, you're going to get, in most cases, you're going to get these formulas that tell you to do these very specific steps that'll make something happen today. Well, when the algorithm changes in 6 months, then all of the work that you've put into it today goes away. And my guess is that you've heard some of those horror stories. You've probably seen a sales letter that says, hey, do it my way, and that'll never happen to you. Well, here, guaranteed, if 20,000 people begin to do it my way, then the algorithms pick up on that, and then they begin to devalue that because it's, you know, well, because too many folks are doing it. It looks like a loophole, et cetera, et cetera. The second thing I want to talk about is paid traffic. Is paid traffic. There's a problem with paid traffic, and that it just feels too easy. I can pull $1,000 out of my pocket, and tomorrow, on one of the pay-per-click engines, I can have 1,000 visitors to my website. It just feels too easy. It really does. And what's even worse is that if you throw enough people that have typed in some generic keyword onto your fitness for karate website, if they've thrown in some keyword like fitness or karate, you know, the truth of the matter is you probably could get a 5% or 7% conversion rate on your squeeze page, which is going to be really, really confusing because you're going to get 50 or 70 subscribers, and it's going to take away the pain of pulling out that $1,000 from your pocket because some guru out there is going to tell you that all you've got to do is optimize that squeeze page and you'll get three times as many subscribers. The problem is if you're doing very generic targeting, you're probably not going to triple those squeeze page results. And even if you do, even if you can somehow trick, cajole, persuade, hypnosisize people into giving you their name and email address, if they're not intimately interested in whatever it is that you're teaching and you're selling, after about their fifth email from you, they're going to stop reading your emails. Maybe you've experienced that. You've got 100 subscribers. You're all excited about it. You write them an email every day. And after 10 days, out of 100 people, only 5 of them are opening your emails. It's probably not because you're writing lousy emails, although it could be. It's probably not because you're trying to sell them every day, although it could be. Trying to sell every day and not teaching people can run people off. The truth of the matter is, the other 95 people that are not opening your emails, they probably weren't interested in the first place, but they saw some pretty picture on a squeeze page. They saw this big flashing yellow button that says, click here, click here, click here, and they were just, I mean, it's human nature. If I walk up to you and I put my hand out to you to shake your hand, it's going to be very difficult for you to not give me your hand. Even if you're my enemy, if I walk up to you with a big smile on my face and put my hand out, you're going to shake my hand, and then you're going to pull your hand back and you're going to go, I can't believe I did that. You're my enemy. Then we're going to laugh and we're not going to be enemies anymore. Well, it's exactly the same way with the squeeze page. If you write the squeeze page well enough, you can trick the wrong people into joining your list. But what good does that do you? And to me, that's the problem with paid traffic when you're first getting started, because you don't know what will work, you don't know what's going to work, and unless you've got very, very deep pockets to be able to try thousands of iterations of things, interacted with your squeeze page, interacted with 20 emails, interacted with your three different sales letters, in today's market, it's going to be very, very difficult to tease out exactly where your money is being spent and should be spent. I believe that as beginners, and I don't care if somebody, you know, comes to me and they say, boy, I'm a billionaire, and I've got this, you know, I own this car company, but I believe that the future of driving is online, and so I want to create this driving website, and I want to spend $100 million on traffic and try to figure it all out. I'd look that person in the eyes and say, look, we're just going to burn your $100 million. Why don't we start out with a simple website, put 20 or 40 articles on it that are really cool and really interesting, and begin to work this thing from an organic perspective and start talking to people who have these needs and these interests. Let's build a list of 1,000 people. Let's find out exactly what they're looking for. Let's make the website exactly what this prototypical person is looking for. Once we figured out how to make a squeeze page work for hand-picked people, now we roll that out to the masses, and our conversion rates are going to be so much better. And now we're going to be able to get so much more out of that $100 million investment. And so I only say that to say, look, if I would look someone in the eyes that has $100 million to invest in traffic and say, look, that's the wrong step for you for the first 3 to 6 months, then I look you in the eyes and say, if you've got $10,000 that you're authorized in your family to waste on traffic, or you've even got $1,000 that you're authorized to waste on traffic, please just put that in the bank and put your own hard work into learning what makes people tick. And then 6 months from now, once you figure out what makes people tick, once you figure out how much you make per subscriber, then you can go out there and begin to advertise. That's what I did. That's what many other people have done. My guess is that almost every successful person in the information marketing world has ended up having to go down that route. Even if they started with paid traffic at the very beginning, they had to shift back. So when we focus on finding out where the exact people are that we're looking for and bring them to our website, we can begin to have great conversations. We can have email conversations. We can even get – I used to get people on the phone from my email list, say, hey, do you want to chat for a few minutes? You know, when you're small, when you don't have a big business and you have a lot of time on your hands, there's an old adage out there, and it says when you first get started in business, you have no money, but you have lots of time. And when you've been in business for a long time, you have lots of money and no time. And so you do things differently when you've been in business for a long time. And so, you know, some of what I'm even going to share with you today, I don't do all of these things anymore. And you say, but Sean, I want to do it exactly the way that you do. The difference is I've been doing this a long time. I've got a lot of experience. I've got more money than I have time. When I first got started, I had more time than I had money, and so I did things the way I'm getting ready to share with you, or my own amateur iteration of it at that time. Right now, you're at a place where you have more time than money. You've got to learn the business from the bottom up. So I want to share with you another thought about starting with people that are truly, truly interested in what you have. There'll be harder work to find, but here's the thing. If you can find 100 people that seriously need what you have, and you can create a sales page that specifically matches what those 100 people are looking for, you're still only going to get like 15% of them to buy from you. But what that's going to do is it's going to tell you what works to get truly interested people moving along this path. Then we can branch out into more types of mass traffic. We're going to get less qualified people, but they're not just going to be the 7 billion people of the world, but we're going to get less qualified people, and those conversion rates are going to go down. They go down from 15% to 10% or 5%. But because we figured out what the right people want and need, we're not having to tease it out of the masses. We're not having to tease it out of the untargeted traffic. Or even, you know, if we're talking about fitness for karate people, karate is almost an untargeted. I mean, we might say, okay, well, it's targeted to karate, but still only about 10% of those people are interested in fitness, and vice versa. You know, if we say, okay, well, we're going to target it to fitness, only 10% or maybe even 5% of the people that are interested in fitness are actually interested in karate. So what we've got to do is we've got to zone in and say, how can we come up with people that are specifically interested in fitness for karate? And it works that way in your niche as well. So I've kind of given you the background of why we've got to look at traffic differently. I've looked at traffic differently for a long time. I've made some forays into doing it the way everybody else does. Every single time I've done it, I've failed. Every single time I've done it, I've failed. And I've had to come back to what I'm getting ready to share with you right now in order to be able to grow. It's the foundation. It's the place where targeted visitors hang out. So the next thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to share with you where to, how to find those people. And then finally, I'm going to share with you how to get involved with them at kind of a deeper level. Okay? So the very first thing that you've got to do, and once again, I recognize the temptation to just shoot straight for the Facebook training, to shoot straight for the YouTube training, to shoot straight for the pay-per-click training, to shoot straight for the solo ad training. All that stuff is great once you have something in place. But I believe that you've got to start with asking yourself, where do the people that have my need, where are they going online to find out whatever that is? So if you, let's say that you're, you know, we talked about fitness for karate. What if we do, I was going to say fitness for somebody else, but let's get, you know, let's do eating, you know, how to eat right for playing golf. So how to eat right for playing golf. I have no idea what kind of market there is for that. It's not relevant. It's just eating well for playing golf. So here's the question. Where do those people go to hang out? Now, the first thing that might come to our mind is all the golf websites. All the golf websites. That's a great place to start. And so what you want to do is you want to make a list of the top 100 golf websites in the world. Now, what happens is a lot of times when I ask somebody to do this exercise, they come up with a list of about four, and they say, I don't know where the rest of them are. And how many do you think there are? Oh, maybe there's 30. The truth of the matter is there's probably 100,000 golf websites. And 100 of those are the top golf websites. Now, where are you going to find these golf websites? One place that you could find these golf websites is to get this, get off the web and go to your local golf course and ask each instructor, hey, are there any golf websites that you would recommend? And you just write, take it down, write it down. And you talk to 10 instructors, you'll come up with 30 different websites. Oh, there you have 30 websites right there. From real people that go to real golf websites when they have a question. Maybe you go to golf students. You say, boy, I want to do it all online. Great. Find 10 golf instructors online and find out the top three websites. You say, well, how am I going to do that? You're going to go online and type in golf coaching, golf instructors, and you're going to find 100 golf coaches. And there's probably 10,000 online. You're just going to find 100. You're going to get on their list. You're going to send every one of them an email after about the third day, and you're going to introduce yourself. And you're going to say, you know, hey, you know, quick question. If you were to recommend three top golf websites in the world for beginners or for, you know, whatever, what would they be? And you know what the truth of the matter is? Only maybe 15 of those 100 are going to respond. And if you allow it to hurt your feelings, you'll have your feelings hurt that 85 people did not respond. The good thing is 15 people did respond. That's one of the mistakes folks make is I'll give them an exercise like this. Go find 100 golf coaches if they're in the golfing niche. They'll go find five. Four of them don't respond. And they say, you know what, if just one person out of five is going to respond, it's not worth my time to contact the other 95. What happens is if it's not worth their time, then they're never going to find out who these people are. I remember when I first got started in this business, I was where some of you are still today. You say, boy, I don't understand the business model. I bought some training programs, some seven-step programs. The business model works like this, and you do these kinds of things. And I didn't fully understand it, and I questioned, does this work in the real world? I made myself a list. I don't remember how many people are on this list, whether it's 20 or whether it's 30. The number 12 stands out in my mind, but I think that was like the list I made after the initial list. I'm not sure. And then the list of people, I said, these are people that are in the niche I want to go into. And I said, what do I know about these people? What are their characteristics? What kinds of things do they do? What kinds of things do they do online? I don't care what they tell me they do. What do they really do? Of course, some of you have been following me for a long time. You know what the punchline is. The punchline is I noticed that they all have a list. They all mail their list almost every day. They all teach their list something. They all charge for something that they teach. Most of them provide some kind of coaching. Most of them have a membership. Most of them have a squeeze page or some other highly effective way of getting people to go onto their list. Notice that these are the traits of the top 30 people in the niche I wanted to go into. And either they're all wrong or they're all right. Now, if they're all wrong, something's wrong, because these are the top people. It would be like going to the top 30 golf instructors in the world and saying, okay, well, you know, what do they do? What do they teach first? Well, one of the first things that I think a golf instructor teaches is a handhold. Like, how do you hold the golf club? You say, well, are they all wrong? Well, they might be. They could all be wrong. But if I'm just getting started in something I don't know anything about, I probably better learn the handhold first, just because that's what everybody else does. Now, when I've been doing this, when I've been golfing for 20 years, and I create Sean's School of Golf, I can reinvent the wheel. But when you're first starting out, the only thing that you can go by is what everybody else is doing. Doesn't mean that what they're doing is right, but that's kind of your starting point. I believe you've got to do that for your niche. What's the starting point? What are the other 100 people in your niche doing? And, you know, a lot of times folks tell me, well, there's nobody else doing exactly what I'm doing. Okay, great, but there's people that are doing something related. So, for example, let's say you teach how to eat well for golfing. You say, well, nobody teaches that. Okay, fine. What do other things related to that are people teaching about golf? You can look and you can see what other people are doing, and you can begin to find traits. So now we know what the top 100 places where people are going online if they want golf instruction. These are just the websites. Now, obviously the other place where people go is they go to the search engines and they type in whatever's the question that they have into the search engine. But let me ask you this. Are they getting the information that they want from the search engine, or are they getting the information they want from those top 100 websites? Now think about that. Is the search engine actually giving them the results? Does Google or Yahoo have this super-duper encyclopedia, and the top result every time you type something in for Google and Yahoo is always their result? In fact, the truth of the matter is it's very rarely the case. So the truth of the matter is a lot of times folks say you got to maximize for Google. You got to maximize for Yahoo because, you know, you want to be on that top spot. But the truth of the matter is, even though it looks like people are going to Google for information or they're going to Yahoo search for information, that's not where they're getting the information. They're getting it from the top 100 websites in your niche. And then the next step is time consuming. Most people skip this step as well. And folks, I'm just calling it what it is today. I really am. I sanitize things a lot. I try to make things really simple and easy. And then, you know, sometimes I see the results of what folks are doing from that sanitized version, even though it's step-by-step clear, and I realize they don't understand what's going on the backside, and I want to share that. Sometimes I give out homework assignments to do something, and folks don't do the homework assignment because the homework assignment is harder than just going and buying another ebook from somebody else. But imagine if you were to take those 100 websites and you were to spend a week involved in those websites. With no agenda, just to say, had no agenda at all. It'd be just kind of like if you were thinking when you were a teenager, yeah, I want to be a doctor one day. You know what the best thing for you to do if you want to be a doctor one day is go find all the doctors in your town and say, hey, can I spend a day with you? You don't have to teach me anything. I don't have any agenda, nothing. I just want to shadow you. How many people they want to be doctors would decide not to be doctors after shadowing 100 doctors? You know, or maybe somebody has told your grandchildren that they should be a veterinarian, and they say, I don't ever want to be a veterinarian. And what if you were to challenge them? You know what, I tell you what, I'll buy you an ice cream or, you know, whatever, a video game or, whatever the current bribe is for teenagers. If you'll just spend 5 days next to five different veterinarians, there's no agenda, you don't have to like what you're doing, you just look and watch. You've got probably a 30 or 40% chance that any teenager that goes through that will come out and say, you know what, I really liked working with that horse. I really liked working with that dog. I really liked working with that cat. I could see myself as a vet. That doesn't mean they're going to go to vet school, but I hope that you're getting the idea. If you'll just go to those top 100 websites and hang out, get involved, make yourself a user account where there's possible, post some comments, see what people are saying, get involved in the blogs, get involved in the forums, click all the advertising links. What are people paying for? You know, what's going on? Really get the pulse of your market. What would happen? There's a part of me that's tempted to just stop this training right now. And in fact, I might. There's a part of me that wants to just stop this training right now and say, go do that. Because I've been doing this long enough, folks, that I believe that if you were to do that in your niche, you would discover many things about your niche that you didn't realize. You'd discover where the primary traffic sources are. You would discover what the best websites are. Out of those 100 websites, there's probably five of them where the forums are really, really active. And if you get involved, if you get active and you start helping out, you might even get offered a position as a moderator. You go, look, I want to build a business in the golf arena. I don't want to be a moderator. But, you know, being a moderator on one of the golf forums, and again, we're talking about golf. I don't know what your niche is, karate or swimming or blogs or, you know, whatever the case is. But, it just depends on what those 100 websites are, and so I'm giving you an imaginary example here. But let's just say that was your apprenticeship. And for a year, you just moderated and you helped people, and people came to you and said, hey, do you know anybody that can help me learn more about this? And of course, you're a moderator and you're respected and you've got 100 posts or 1,000 posts. And you can say, well, I actually can recommend three people. I can recommend so-and-so, they're really good about this. I can recommend so-and-so, and they're really good about that. And I can recommend me. I'm good at this too. And here's the thing, because of the relationship that you've built, who are they going to pick? They might interview all three of you, and maybe they'll go with somebody else. But the truth of the matter is, if you're the one building a relationship, who are they going to hire? And again, I want you to go into this not seeking anything specific, but just to keep your eyes open and say, where are people coming from? Where are they going when they leave this website? How good is this website? How bad is this website? What works? What doesn't? How can I get involved? How can I communicate? And so on and so on and so on. Now, once again, I'm tempted to stop right there, but at the same time, there's a part of me that says, well, I want this training to be a little bit more complete. The problem, honestly, I'm going to be completely transparent with you. I know human nature. If I give you three more assignments in the next few minutes, what's going to happen is many of you are going to choose to do one of them, but not all of them. Now, for the sake of completeness, I'm going to take that risk. So outside of these 100 websites, where are people hanging out? Okay, so now we go into the social arenas. We say for golf, because that's our example right now, for golf, are people hanging out on Facebook? Now, I don't know if they are or they're not. Now, what's dangerous about Facebook is it's easy to say, okay, you know, I found 10 groups on Facebook that have 100,000 golfers. Okay? But until you get involved in that group, you have no idea if it's real or not. Until you get involved and you carry on 20 conversations with real people, you have no idea if that's 100,000 people that are really interested in golf or if that's somebody went out and bought 100,000 likes from somebody. You don't have any idea. You gotta spend your time in there. And I'll tell you, that's one of the dangers of, you know, we talked about laying out training, Facebook, YouTube, article marketing, whatever the case is. You know, we could have a training out there for Facebook that said, okay, go out there, find the top 10 groups, get involved in the groups, post to the groups, begin developing relationships. And 3 months later, you follow this step-by-step formula and you find that you had joined 10 groups that are just mostly looky-loos and hangers-on, and you say, boy, Facebook's not where the golfers are hanging out. But what if instead you were to say, you know what, I'm going to spend quite a bit of time in these groups. I'm going to find out what's going on. I'm going to create a squeeze page that's going to kind of be in my signature somewhere. And when people come to my Facebook page from something I've posted or responded pleasantly, not because I'm trying to sell something, and I say, is it effective if people come to my Facebook page, do they begin to put in their name and email address? And if they do they begin to buy from me? And at the same time, you're over at LinkedIn, or you're over at the golf social network, or, you know, depending on your niche, it's the karate social network, it's the fitness social network, it's the blogging social network. And you're in there, and folks, I've only given you 1% of the iceberg here, not because I'm holding anything back, but just because I'm saying you can see how deep we could continue to go. Because you're looking for real people. You're not looking for a list of 100,000 looky-loos. You're looking for real people. You're not looking for a list of people that have 100,000 likes. Now, are those things correlated sometimes? Yes, they're correlated. Dude, let's talk about YouTube. Let's talk about YouTube. If you go into YouTube and search for golf videos, I've never done it before, but my guess is you'd find 100 golf channels with at least 100 golf videos on them. And out of that 100, the 80-20 rule would probably be operational. And 20% of those channels, when you dig in, you find that you're directed to a squeeze page that works just like we teach, that you get onto the email list. It's a good email list. You're getting a nice email every day. You're wanting to buy that golf product whether you need it or not because you've gone through a process. You've come from that particular YouTube page. What's happened here? Those people have kind of figured out what videos and what channels and how to meet people on somewhere like YouTube. Now, here's the thing. We can give you step-by-steps for YouTube. I can give you step-by-steps for YouTube. But until you go in there and create those 100 videos, and until you begin to comment on other people's videos, and until you begin to subscribe to other people's channels, and until they begin to subscribe to your channels, and until your subscribers begin to view the videos. You know, the truth of the matter is, YouTube doesn't care if you put 100 videos up if nobody ever comes to see them. You see, YouTube, what we've discovered is that YouTube will reward you when you send traffic their way. And you say, well, hey, I'm starting out from scratch. How am I going to do that? Well, maybe that's where you're getting involved in those 10 Facebook groups. You're getting involved in those 100 golf websites. You're moving around in there. You're answering blog posts. You're genuinely helping people out. Where you have the opportunity to put a signature, you put your YouTube channel. And after a while, you're getting 100 visits a day from your organic network. And then YouTube perks their ears up. And when they see that you post a new video and you send that video to your list and you post it to Facebook and 400 people go view that video 6 months from now, remember, we're not talking about this starting today. And once again, my rabbit trail here, so many folks are focused on how am I going to get traffic today when the answer really is how am I going to build it for 6 months from now because it's not happening today. But 6 months from now, when you post that 100th video and you're able to get 400 visits to it, real live visits, not ones you paid somebody 10 cents a piece to send somebody to go click on it for 5 seconds. We're talking real people that visit and become subscribers and click on the advertising and all of those kinds of things. Okay. Then YouTube says, okay, this is a video we like, and they begin to feature it. We can do this. I just called out Facebook and YouTube. I did it on eZine Articles. I could not have done what I did on eZine Articles if I didn't do volume, and if I didn't drive people there, and if I didn't make things exciting, and if I didn't drive clicks. I mean, my goodness, some of the things I did over there I probably could have gotten fired for, but I was driving so much traffic and getting so many visits that I think that sometimes people might look the other way and say, you know what, that squeeze page isn't perfect. And then sometimes when they said my squeeze page wasn't perfect, I went in there and I made one the way they wanted it. I didn't have to like it. done the same thing over there at the Warrior Forum when I was working the Warrior Forum. Exactly the same thing. I didn't know anything about it. I got in there and I got involved. And here's the thing. I'm not going to give you a silver bullet today. I'm not going to tell you if you should go to Facebook. I'm not going to tell you if you should go to YouTube. I'm not going to tell you if you should go to Google or LinkedIn or Easing Articles or Lifehack or the Golf Network or the Football Network or the Karate Network or the Fitness Network or the Blogging Network or the List Building Network or any other niche that you're in. What I am going to say is that from my years of experience online, in order for you to get good at driving traffic, remember, traffic is just qualified people that really want what you have. You've got to find out what's out there. Hey, now we're going to move. We're going to move to kind of the next step. Okay, and in fact, I'm just peeking at my notes here, and there's one thing that I want to give you before I go to the next step. One of the things I mentioned earlier, but I'm not drilling at home yet, is this idea of getting on people's list. You should get on if you're in the golf niche and you want to be good at the golf thing. I would open up a new email box, and I would subscribe to every golf email list that you can. I'd read every email every day. Now, wait a second, Sean. You say you've told us not to spend all day reading email. You're right. You're absolutely right. The problem is personal email is the worst, and then emails trying to sell you stuff is second worst. All you're going to do is open up this email account, this golf email account, once a day for 15 minutes. You're going to go in there and study just like you did when you were in college. You're going to go study and learn everything you can about what people are doing, what they're recommending, et cetera, et cetera. And here's what's going to happen is you're going to begin to find patterns. You're going to find that if you're on 100 golf lists, 10 people are constantly promoting the same 5 or 6 people. What does that tell you? It tells you that 10 people wouldn't be promoting the same thing if they weren't making money on it. Now, let's leave the money aside. What does it mean if they're making money on it? It means that the sales page is resonating to the kind of people that are reading those particular emails. Are you beginning to see what's going on here? And if you spend your time reading those successful sales letters, maybe even buying the front end so you can see the one-time offers, so you can really immerse yourself in that niche, instead of saying, well, I'm going to copy everything from the internet marketing niche because that's where all the training is and just copy it over to golf. Instead, you'll immerse yourself in the golf niche. You'll immerse yourself in the scrapbooking niche. You'll immerse yourself in the blogging niche. And then when it comes time for you to write a sales letter, the words are just going to come out because you've been reading them for days and days and weeks and weeks. Now, there's one more level to this. You're on 100 email lists and you're getting an email every day from people. What's the next thing you ought to do? Hit reply, and say, hey, I like that post that you sent. Now, obviously, you got to like it, okay? So you're not always going to hit reply. If you don't like something, don't. And no negativity. You're going to hit reply, and you're going to say, hey, I like that particular post. And you know what? Most people are going to ignore you. The fifth time that you send an email that says, hey, I really like what you're teaching, somebody's pride is going to get triggered and write back and say thank you. Now, you get a live one. You're a live one. You get a real person that's willing to write back, and now you're going to write back again. And you're going to say, hey, you know, I really appreciated being on your list the last month because I've learned so much about golf. And maybe you bought one of their products and you're going to say, you know, I appreciated your training program. Thanks a bunch. They're going to write back and they're going to say, what did you like most about it? And you're going to tell them. And then they're going to write back and they're going to ask you if there's anything you can help with. And you might respond and you might say, you know, truth be told, I joined about 100 lists in the golf niche, 100 lists 3 months ago in the golf niche. And you're one of 5 people that's responded. When people tell me that, it makes me feel really good. I don't know why it makes me feel really good, because I know it to be the truth. I mean, it's just that's just the way that it is. Still makes me feel good. It's human nature or something. I don't know. I can fight pride all of my life, but I'm probably, when I'm 85, there'll be a little bit that creeps in, and I still have to work with it, right? But, hey, you want to appeal to their pride, and you say, you know what? I've written to 100 people, and you're one of 5 that's written back. And I want to say I appreciate that. And I'll tell you the truth, you know, the reason I was doing this is because, you know, I've developed a certain kind of swing that's different than anything else in the world, and I've been thinking about launching it to the world and telling people about it, but I really wanted to see what this market's all about. Now you're down to 5 people corresponding with you, and 2 of them are probably just going to back out because, well, you know, maybe they're not unselfish enough to be willing to help you out, but you know what, 2 or 3 of them out of those 5 are probably going to write you back and say something like, hey, is there anything I can do to help? Now, I want you to understand something, that when they say that, they're not saying, can I work for you for free for the rest of your life? Okay. What they are saying is they want to help you get a leg up. You see, successful people tend to want to help other people. Aren't you that way? If there's something you're really good at, let's say you communicate with your husband or wife really well, and you're walking down the street and you see a husband and wife arguing, there's a part of you that just wants to go tap them on the shoulder and say, hey, how long have you folks been married? Oh, I've been married for 2 years. Okay, my husband and I, we've been married for 25 years, and we've had some fights that are, boy, they're doozies. They're worse than what you're going through. I've learned a thing or two. And you know what? If you'd ever like to chat, here's how you can get in touch with me. And not everybody's going to respond, but you see, people that are successful at things like to share with other people. They don't want to do it for free for the rest of their lives. They don't want to do it and be sneered at or anything like that. They'd like to have thank you. They'd like to have, you know, can I pay you for your time? They'd like to have those kinds of things. But the truth of the matter is they want to help you. And what would happen if 3 to 5 people in the golf niche, once again, we're pretending you're in the golf niche, what if 3 to 5 people you'd built a relationship with over 90 days, 3 to 5 people were asking you how they could help you, and they began to help you and give you some ideas. And one of them even said, hey, you know what, if you'll set me at 70% commission, I'll promote this thing to my list. And you know, I can just feel it inside. There's some of you that are thinking there's no way I'd ever give away 70% commission. Here's the thing. It's free. It's free. If you make 10 sales at 30% commission, you're going to make 10 times 30% more than you'd ever make without that person making that offer. In fact, just being able to work with a person might be worth 100% commission. Because what's going to happen is you're going to go out and get 10 buyers or 100 buyers or 1,000 buyers on your list. And by the way, all I'm doing, folks, is I'm trying to show you the value of building these relationships. I'm just trying to show you the value of building these relationships and keeping on, not just trying to build 5. I'm trying to build 100. I'm not trying to suggest that you go down this exact path and 5 people are going to be willing to promote your thing, because if that's what's in the back of your mind, you'll probably never get past the first step, because people can see through that. What I am saying is, I'm just giving the tip of the iceberg, not because I'm holding anything back, but because, you know, it'd be kind of like if I try to explain to you how to go into a movie theater and how to meet someone who has your interests because of the movie. You're not going to be able to. You can't just use some kind of formula. You're just going to have to try to strike up some conversations, and you're going to see what happens. And most of them are going to go nowhere, and a few of them are going to go somewhere. It's exactly the same way online. We got to get away from these 7-step formulas and instead get to the place where we're really digging into what do people need online and why. What do people need online and why? There's no one-size-fits-all. There's no one-size-fits-all. Now, everything I've shared with you today can be done on the blog networks, the social networks, the Facebook types of places, the search engines, all the websites we've talked about, LinkedIn, YouTube, all of those places. It's all about building relationships, folks. And in fact, if you could wipe away from your memory the concept of traffic and think about building relationships, everything will be. I'm going to tell you a secret. You know, when I first got started, my first couple of years online, I built a lot more relationships than I do now. Let me just be honest with you. You know, when you've only got 2,000 subscribers, when you've got 2,000 subscribers, most of whom shouldn't be on your list anymore, you can personally communicate with every single person really easily. You really can. And folks would come to me and they'd say, hey, can I interview you? And they'd interview me, and the interview would go up on their website, and I might get 100 visits to my website, and I'd get 25 or 30 subscribers. Knowing what I make per subscriber, I go, boy, that was well worth my time. But sometimes I'd do interviews and nothing would happen. When you're active and you're involved and you're building relationships, things like that happen. I'm going to give you another idea here. Imagine you're building these relationships. You get on 100 email lists. You're building relationships. You're talking to people. And you get to the place where you not the first email, but the 20th email that you're having with somebody, having a genuine relationship, you say, hey, by the way, I respect you in the golf niche. Could I interview you for my website? Some people are going to say no. Some people are going to say yes. But what's going to happen with a percentage of the ones that say yes that you interview? Some of them are going to have to interview you. So even if people aren't just coming out of the woodwork to interview you, you'll get interview requests by offering to interview them. How do you get somebody to feature you on their Facebook page? Feature them on your Facebook page, and they get a whole bunch of people that are being referred by you. They're going to hunt you out. They're going to say thank you, and they're going to say, is there anything I can do to help? I found that that happens a lot. When I reach out and I promote something for somebody I don't know, when I send an email out, when there's various types of things that I do, and I'm not doing it for the purpose of, but that trigger other people saying, if there's anything I can ever do to help you, let me know. Boy, that's a great time to write back and say, you know, to be honest with you, I could probably use your help. You know, what kind of help were you thinking? And they're saying, you know, I'd feature on my Facebook page, or I'd feature on LinkedIn, or, you know, I'd let you write a blog post for my blog. And you write back and you say, okay, great. Give me 24 hours. What topic do you want? I'm going to write it. You're not going to take 6 weeks to write it. You're going to write it in 24 hours, even if you have to stay up all night. Why? Because this is your opportunity to get in front of more people. Now, I want to warn you. Some people, after hearing what I've shared today, you've taken notes, and you're going to make a seven-step formula out of what I've given you today. And if you do that, it probably won't work for you. Now, I have had people take things like this and apply it in a specific area and have great results. A lot of times that depends already on their existing contacts. But this is all about building up those contacts, building up those relationships. And then finally, what's the final step? Let's just talk about the final step. The final step is once you recognize where people are coming from that are getting involved in the golf, in this case, the golf email lists, the golf websites, the golf social networks, the golf groups on Facebook, the golf groups on LinkedIn, the golf groups on all the other social networks that aren't number one, that are number two and number three and get an amazing amount of traffic, but hardly anybody markets to them because they've forgotten who they are because they're not number one anymore and instead they're number two. When you do that, what will happen is there'll be these traffic sources that pop out at you. You're going to notice that on a certain blog, that if you respond to something, you get like 100 people responding. What does that tell you? It tells you that that blog is a great place to invite people to your website. It tells you that if you have the possibility of putting a link to your website or to your squeeze page in your posts at that particular blog that took you 3 months to kind of get a foot in the door of, you're going to get a bunch of subscribers from that blog. I hesitate to talk about paid traffic yet because if I do, some of you will go out and you'll just buy a whole bunch of paid traffic before you do all the other steps. You try to kind of try to cheat the process. There'll be people that do that. You're not going to do that though, of course. Once you find out that you're getting a good amount of organic traffic from a particular place just because you're hanging out and you're putting your name there, you might say, you know, what would happen if I began to advertise here? And I'm talking about advertising on all 100 golf websites. Talk about advertising at the one place where your name is already well known. And you're going to track it, and you're going to test it, and you're going to find out, do those people that join from the advertising, do they behave the same as the people that came from the organic means? Do they buy from me? Do they join my squeeze page? And that's going to take you 30 to 90 days. And if it's working, it works well, you continue to do it. And if it doesn't work, you don't cry over spilt milk, you just stop. So, folks, I'm going to leave you with this. I encourage you to do some of the things I've talked about today. Find out where people in your niche are spending time online. Find out who they're interacting with. Find out who the key connectors are. Find out who the mavens are. Find out who's running the Facebook groups. Find out the top LinkedIn pages. Find out the top 100 websites. Find out the blogs. Find out the forums. Find out where those people are. Because once you find out where those are, all of a sudden, all kinds of ideas for traffic, which is really real people that have interests and needs, are going to pop out of the woodwork. Now, I've got to give you a caveat here and a warning. This is not going to be instant traffic tomorrow. And if you want instant traffic tomorrow, you can open up your wallet, you can spend $100, take it somewhere that promises instant traffic tomorrow. They'll send you instant traffic tomorrow, and you'll be out $100. You can go buy an instant traffic tomorrow training program for $100. And you can listen to the first training track of 10, decide that it doesn't work, and you're out $100. Or you can go to the 30 to 90 day traffic program, put yourself in school, put yourself in a master's degree school, put yourself in a master's education by learning everything you can about the people that are hanging out online in your niche, and you'll be absolutely amazed at how many traffic sources just, can we say it, pop out of the woodwork. I genuinely believe that, folks, that when you get intimately involved in your niche, and you get intimately involved in the websites and the groups and the places where people are spending in your niche, you'll be amazed at the traffic sources, the people sources, the need sources that are going to just jump out of the woodwork, and you'll be able to see them crystal clear.